All of our suffering comes from an inability to accept what is and wanting what is to be different. We create a resistance because we don't want to accept it or don't want it. And then we battle with that ourselves as to how to create a solution for something we don't want before we've even taken that gray thinking opportunity, shifted a perspective, chosen a way of seeing it differently so that we can soften our own emotions around it and then actually lean into it.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge. Welcome, everybody. Hope you're all having a great day. I am, because I am sitting on this podcast with a good friend of mine, Sandra Wigg. She is an amazing person. She's an amazing coach. She's created such an impact in a lot of people's lives with her new book, The Power of Gray Thinking, Elevate Your Perspective, Elevate Your Life. It's an amazing book. I'm excited. We're going to dive into it. I'm going to get to that in a second. Yet I've known Sandra for quite a while. We have taken some personal development courses together, and I've just seen her take herself on. And what I love about Sandra is she does what she guides other people to do. So she's a person of integrity and high credibility, and she's had a great career. And being that all of you are entrepreneurs who listen to this podcast, I love her journey because she didn't start out as an entrepreneur. She started out as a petroleum geologist, out of all things. Sandra, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that about you before, actually. And then she eventually segued into being a performance-based mindset coach for top athletes within the university, which then translated into her being a coach and now an author and recently a grandma. Maybe your biggest honor, hey, and everything I shared there. I can see that puts a smile on your face. So what we're going to talk about today is Sandra's book, The Power of Gray Thinking, and how it can support all of you who are listening as entrepreneurs to lead a more fulfilling life. And so, Sandra, without further ado, if you can come on. And first question I have is, can you say hi? And then what in the world is gray thinking anyways?
Hi, Kelly. It's so great to be here with you. This is really fun, and to connect together in an entrepreneurial elevation way. So this is really cool. What is gray thinking? That's a really good question, and I get that a lot. Because people say, aren't we supposed to think in black and white? Aren't we supposed to be clear? This or that? And we should probably have a look at what black and white thinking is first, and that will show us what gray thinking is by showing us what it is not. So Black and white thinking, as I demonstrate in the book, is all about this or that, right or wrong, always, never. So it's endpoints of a spectrum, the black and the white. And in between that spectrum is an infinite number of perspectives in the gray realm. And as we think and grow, we want to be able to grab on to some of those different perspectives to guide ourselves, rather than recognizing it's either got to be this or that, or I'm good or I'm bad, or they're right, I'm wrong. And often we don't even know we're doing that. So the black and white realm is very limiting. The gray perspective is everything in between, which is really infinite. What perspective can I choose that's different than a black and white perspective that might allow me to understand things differently or see it differently, so that I'm not just doing the same thing I always do? I'm not just thinking that they're right and I'm wrong, or I need to be right and they need to be wrong. It works in business and it works in relationships, and it's a much softer way of thinking. It creates that inner peace, ease, and lightness. Creativity flows when we're in our gray thinking. It's a healthy realm to be in compared to a black and white scenario. And once we have looked at our gray perspectives, then we can bring the clarity in to make decisions versus just going to a black and white. It's either this or that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. And it's like choosing a perspective that serves us, and not being so wound up and wanting our way to be the way. And I think as an entrepreneur, that's a huge mentality to adopt, because it puts us into the creativity and the solution mindset and to being open to other ways of doing things, because we have a goal. And as we work towards it, rarely do we get to the goal the way we thought we were going to. So I think that your concept of gray thinking, I think people are aware of it, yet to be able to put it like it's gray thinking, right? Put your gray thinking cap on, I think is a really great way to have people not only be aware of it, yet then practice it. And so that's the question I have for you, because the concept makes sense to me, right? Does it mean that I always lean into it and apply it? I don't know. Does it mean I'm always aware that I'm being stubborn in doing the things or taking action the way I want to do it or only seeing my perspective? So how do we actually stop and become aware of our thinking? And are we doing the black and white thing, or how do we lean into the gray? Because it's one thing to know about something. It's another thing to apply it.
Absolutely. And that's a really great question. I think that because we are often programmed to think this or that, and it is an easier way of thinking, noticing your emotion around a situation, noticing if you feel resentment, noticing if you're triggered with anxiety or you're experiencing something that is disturbing or uncomfortable is a cue or a red flag to say how I'm thinking or what's going on is creating some kind of disturbance in me. So where can I interrupt that? And instead of just letting that emotion pull me to the black or white realm of, oh no, this must be bad, or oh no, they must be wrong, or this is scary, or whatever that might be, is to take that as the cue and interrupt there and say, how could I see this differently? How can I soften the situation or lean in and communicate versus a withdraw and isolate when we feel that tension? And I think that is the one of the biggest indicators of, hey, I feel a disturbance. How can I see this differently?
Okay. I like that. So it's also starting and learning to trust ourselves, which I know you talk in your book, right? I think you call it the instigator voice or the critic or the truthful voice. So speak more to that.
Absolutely. I like to liken the gray thinking to our more intuitive, friendly voice. And the instigator is that other voice that wants to say, oh my gosh, look, it must be their fault. Or, oh, how do you not know that? You should know. The voice that takes us more into that uncomfortable or negative emotions, shall we say, the instigator that wants to say, perhaps when you're working towards a goal, it might say, oh, you don't need to do that today. Just take today off, or just do that thing you're trying to quit one more time. That guidance that takes you in the opposite direction of what you're actually moving towards or your vision. So the instigator and our gray thinking voices need to be discerned. And we all know we've heard that voice in our head when we make a mistake or we are unsure about something, is the whole, who are you to write a book? What do you know? You shouldn't be doing this, or look at what they're doing. I wouldn't do it that way. All these black and white instigator types of voices, we do need to notice those compared to a more intuitive voice that is softer and quieter, that might say, you did a good job. You took one step, or you don't know how to do this. Be honest. Don't withdraw. Lean in and communicate. It's okay. It's safe. And it's not always easy when, especially when there's a situation that's uncomfortable or volatile or just not ideal, to go to that place, because we do want to grasp onto it. And if we're offended, we want to withdraw. We want to look at all the reasons why somebody else is wrong, to blame. It's hard to go into that soft place, but yet that's where our power lies. When we can lean into it and trust it, and know that we don't have to defend or prove anything in a confrontation, or even when it's with ourselves, we don't have to prove anything. We can be gentle and lean in.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, I love this. And as you're speaking, a couple of things come up for me. The first one, and you talk a ton about this in your book too, it's in the first and second chapters and throughout, is really having self-validation versus needing other validation. And I really believe that so many entrepreneurs, because we're such high achievers and high performers, we want performance-based approval. And as I was reading your book, I was like, ding, ding, ding. This is how I have lived most of my life. And I grew up being an athlete too. So wanting the approval of my parents, wanting the approval of my father, wanting the approval of my coaches and my mentors and the people in my industry and my community. And sometimes it's even subtle, yet it's there. And over the last, I would say, year, I've really worked on that because I became really aware that was not serving me and that I was coming from that space and that the most important person's approval I need is my own. Yet, so let's segue into this because it's a big part of your book. So can you explain what is performance-based approval and how does it impact our beliefs about ourselves?
Oh, absolutely. And that is a key concept that underpins the whole concept of gray thinking. Because when we create a construct that what everybody outside of us thinks and what the world expects of us or what we believe we're supposed to be in order to receive approval, to be the best, to be perfect, to not fail, all those things that we think we're supposed to be a good person or to get approval are all about things we can't control and they're all outside of us. So an external validation narrative is what we create, that I have to do this so other people can see who I am and tell me who I am. So in high performance athletics, that is, it's key. Coaches evaluate, they look, your performance gets you on or off the field of play. And yet, if we allow that to be the only validation we receive, we're always chasing that opinion of someone else and we're never looking at how do we trust a process-based goal system versus just looking at the performance at the end of that and know that what we're doing and how we're trusting ourselves, being diligent, following through with what we say, doing the right thing when no one's looking for movement towards our goal. That's where we get to trust ourselves. And that's where we get to also trust and acknowledge that the steps we're taking are getting us to our goal, but not immediately and not every single day in perfection. So it's shifting that if I know that I'm not letting myself off the hook and I'm choosing to do the processes that move me towards my performance, then I can trust myself. I can also hold myself accountable when I go, I don't really want to do that today. And then we notice, okay, I let myself off the hook. And if I don't perform well on the field, I know why that happened. Or I can look at myself and say, did I give it my all today? So it's hard to do because so much of our world is about what we've accomplished, what we've achieved, how well we're doing, what we own. And to shift that and say, am I doing what I said? Can I trust my results in more of a long game perspective versus immediate, everything being fun, fast, and easy for an immediate gratification?
Yeah.
Then we can start to look at the results and trusting our process and say, I'm moving towards my worthy ideal and I can acknowledge what I'm doing and know and trust that it's taking me towards the goal or performance objectives that I have. And unfortunately, when we leave all of that in the hands of a coach or a partner or a friend or our family and other people, and we're always working at meeting their expectation, we're never being authentic. We're never being whole. We keep our stress levels higher. And therefore, our actual performance and creativity isn't natural. And we are setting ourselves up to not be our best.
Wow. And everything you just shared is almost like a mic drop, right? It's like a realization of that. And because I myself am on a journey of really, truly finding out who I am and being my most authentic self. I don't know if that comes through experience or with age, or it's just where I'm at in my life. And I'm sure so many listeners can relate to that, right? That question of who am I? And it can be confusing, right? Because you do have so many other voices and outside circumstances impacting that. And so I think what you're sharing is really important because it just supports us in that journey of discovering more of who we are so that we're in tune to ourselves and that the whole journey of self-love is what I'm getting from what you're sharing too. And to focus on, I like how you talk about focus on the process. It's like learning how you can just be a better version of yourself today than you were yesterday and enjoying that journey. And so you talk about, you mentioned doing what is right when no one is watching. That's a part of it. And I think that's huge because we could be really great saboteurs. And when I know when I'm out of integrity with myself, it's when self-loathing kicks in. I struggle with my self-worth. It can be a domino effect of leading from one area of my life to another. So can you speak of the value of doing the right thing when no one is watching?
Yes. And I think that concept or that understanding of when we do the right thing, we actually feel the peace and the ease that we're looking for by striving all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like the opposite to what we think. It's transformational. And as we honor, hey, I felt a temptation, or I wanted to not do anything on my project today, or when relating to writing my book, I don't know how to write a conclusion. I can't do this. I don't want to avoid. Yet I could hear my gray thinking, that voice, my intuitive voice saying, take one step, do one thing. And doing that right thing that I know to be right for me, it's easy to do it when somebody else is holding you accountable. But when it's for you, especially entrepreneurial people, when you know there's things you need to learn or dive into, and yet they're daunting, and you don't know how, it's easy to procrastinate. That the whole thing about, I don't know how, I'm going to hold back. When we have a vision of where we want to go, and we don't need to know the how, it's what's the next right responsible step toward my vision? And can I do that without, and knowing it's the right thing, and not needing the validation of others to push me to do it? So we know, we hear it, we know what the right thing is. And now can we train ourselves to be diligent in taking those steps and doing the right thing when no one's looking in our entrepreneurial journey, as well as our personal journey, when we have got resentment towards someone and we know the right thing is to get humble and call and reconnect? Can we do that? Or are we going to stay in our resentment? Are we going to do opposite to what we know to be the right thing in the moment? If we're attempting to move towards a goal and it, who knows, it could be releasing weight or doing more physical activity, when we in our brain know we need to take an action step and we let ourselves off the hook and don't do the right thing when no one's looking, we lose trust in ourselves. And as we trust ourselves, we come across with that sense of confidence in other areas of our life. It ripples out. And that's when you say self-love. I think when we can create the confidence by doing the right thing for ourselves, what we know to be true, the best we can in any moment, and we acknowledge, but then we also hold on to that feeling, that's where we create that validation from the inside truly, versus seeing if other people approve or if other people validate us and looking for that. Am I doing the right thing from them? We already know. We know what the right thing is to do. We just choose to ignore it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true, right? And the more you do the right thing, and it's like anything, the more you practice that, the easier it becomes. And I do believe it to be true, right? That we take ourselves everywhere. So if I practice that in my business per se, I'm going to eventually start to practice that in my intimate relationships with family, in my health, and of course, in across all areas of our lives. Why would we not want to adopt that mindset, right? And that practice. And I know a big part of your messaging is this idea of fear and love. And when we're in fear, that's the inner critic that's coming out. That's the performance-based approval. That's where we can go into, I like to say, persecution, victim mentality, or rescuer. All of those are not effective ways to be. Yet I know I go in one of those or all of those every single day. It's an awareness to then get out of there quicker. Yet where love is where we create the whole of our reality. And what is your definition of fear and love? Because I know you talk about that too, and it relates to doing the right thing. And with what we were just chatting about.
Yeah, for sure. The fear, often our fears are always, am I going to get it right? Do we know? What if I fail? Thinking we have to be something other than we are. And I truly believe that when we start looking at those existential questions, as you brought up earlier, who am I? And it's all based on what we think people want to see. We are afraid. We have fear over what are people going to think if I don't know how to do this? What are people going to think if I don't perform well? And so we fear our performance and we fear our steps. And instead of trusting or leaning in and feeling the excitement of what if I try? How would this turn out? I would like to take one step. It's a very empowering feeling. It draws you forward. And that's so much about what life coaching is. How do we see a gray perspective that draws us forward into the enthusiasm of the unknown, get curious, versus the fear of what if it doesn't work out? Like the worst case scenario, when we focus on that, we have no control anyway, and then we lose our confidence. And often the discerning of those two comes from when we've had to ask those tough existential questions about who am I? I haven't been doing the right thing. I know it. I know where there's areas I've not looked at or I've procrastinated on. And those actually cause some closed off places that we don't even want to look at. And it's often through some hard situations, some very painful circumstances in our lives where we actually have to look at that is, am I doing the right thing when no one's looking, or am I hiding behind what I think is okay, or nobody will know, I can get away with? And that's where the gray thinking voice, it does know and it does prompt us, and we do hear things. And that's the loving voice we can trust versus that fearful voice that keeps us from not being whole and not being our best, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And as you're speaking, what I got highlighted from that, the words that stood out for me was, I love how you said to be curious and to approach your life with enthusiasm. And gosh, that just sent chills down me, because I'm thinking, yeah, what a great perspective to approach my life with enthusiasm. And what would be the benefits and the potential outcome if that's how I got up and went after my goals every day versus the dread or what might happen? And so that's awesome. Can you speak to that though? How do we get up and approach your life with enthusiasm? As we know, there's a lot that happens in our day-to-day as we're building our businesses, as we're out there being an entrepreneur, we're creating our relationships, and life happens, things that are outside of our control. So what would you say to someone who's not going through a very good time in their life? And you're like, just approach your life with enthusiasm, will you? What guidance would you give someone to be able to lean into that? That's maybe a softer approach, yet at the same time, pulling them in that direction a little bit.
Yeah, that's an excellent question too. I think also in that we are going to have tough stuff, and not to be so surprised when things aren't going well. We all want our life to be easy and good so that we feel okay. And when we can trust that not feeling okay is also good, it's not a black and white scenario. If things aren't going well, therefore my life isn't good. We can come at it from that place of, what step might I take today that gives me that little piece of confidence? If I'm struggling, if I'm feeling anxious or not motivated, if I trust my process structure and not look at the performance, I could do one thing today. I could take a responsible step, one, in a direction for today. I only need enough energy for today. And I can do that, setting things up for us to win, even though we're not feeling good. And honestly, not being surprised all the time when things don't go well. Because yeah, we do. We know we experience. I know for me, I experience surprise still all the time. Even though I know things are going to come at me, we're going to have difficulties and obstacles all the time. And yet, why are we so surprised every single time that yeah, we experience one? And I feel that's a real resilience thing, is I can accept that I might not like or want what's happening, but every time I'm resistant to that, I'm not going to have enthusiasm. If I can accept it, I don't have to agree with it, but I can accept what it is and then grab a gray thinking perspective, look through the lens of what can I do, or what another perspective might be that isn't so black and white, I can start to soften down those feelings of things not going well, or feeling overwhelmed, or feeling a little anxious, and start looking at the truth of what is going on and what can I do, or what have I done to move myself forward that I might not be acknowledging, because I might not acknowledge the little tiny steps that I have done, because we're more focused on the end point performance achievement. And we forget about our process for structure and our process goals along the way that can give us that little boost that we might need as we acknowledge our small steps.
Absolutely. And as you're speaking, I really think that utilizing your concept of gray thinking is really important when things aren't going the way we want them to go, or when we're, for lack of words, down and out. That's the most important time to start asking ourselves those questions and being willing and open to changing our perspective. And I know one thing I've been doing my best to do when things aren't going the way I want them to be is to ask myself, what's the blessing in here? This is happening for a reason that's possibly outside of my control. So instead of looking at why me or what are the drawbacks, it's like, well, what are the blessings? Because I believe there's equal. I believe there's always equal drawbacks to equal blessings. It's the laws of the universe. And most of the time I know, and I believe this is true to be with people, we make up a lot of the drawbacks. They're not actually even real or even have happened to us, yet we make them up. We tell ourselves these stories and we go on to this default of negative storytelling and within our mindset. So if we're able to do that, we're able to do the opposite, right? Go on to falling into a positive storytelling of what could be the actual outcome or the blessing for something in our life. And I love that your gray thinking, in my mind anyways, that's what it exemplifies, is also look at the blessings in a hard time, and especially in a hard time, because it's easy to do when things are going your way. It's easy to do. Yeah, you got to pull forth those different perspectives when you need the solutions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also in that, when things are hard, yes, seeing what am I learning here, but also not judging in a black and white scenario, so that when things aren't going well, that this is a black situation. And I need to get to where it's good. It's trusting that, yes, great learning comes in hard circumstances and they're not bad.
That's
that
so
perspective right there is massive. Is this is not bad or wrong. I have an opportunity, like you said, to see the blessing of potential great learning and growth in this, because that's where we do learn. We don't grow so much in the easy times.
Isn't that the truth, right? You talk about the battleground, right? Which is what we're talking about. It's, you say the battleground is facing life just the way it is, not the way we want it to be. So can you talk about that?
I think that comes down to a concept of all of our suffering comes from an inability to accept what is and wanting what is to be different. We create a resistance because we don't want to accept it or don't want it. And then we battle with that ourselves as to how to create a solution for something we don't want before we've even taken that gray thinking opportunity, shifted a perspective, chosen a way of seeing it differently so that we can soften our own emotions around it and then actually lean into it. And we battle with ourselves all the time. And when we go into that battleground, then guess who pops in to support our battle is the instigator. As soon as we open up to uncertainty and, oh no, what's going on and blame and all that, then the instigator gets right in there and starts to expand that negative experience. And we can't always control that. The emotions hit and whatnot, but we do get to say, what direction am I going right now? This is feeling worse. I need to take a moment, slow down, choose a different perspective. And even if we can only back ourselves up a tiny little bit, we're still moving in the right direction. And it's hard. Even some mornings when you wake up and you feel that anxious feeling in the morning and all of a sudden it feels overwhelming, we can change our perspective and look at whatever small thing you can look at in the moment, which might be, oh, look, my pillow is soft. Oh, my blanket is nice. Whatever small thing we can pick up on to start to move the momentum to recognize what is versus what we might be resisting.
Mm-hmm. And you speak too, like with that, I want to segue into how you talk about when we're in competition with ourselves, because you're talking about the battle within and the inner critic and the instigator which then just creates turmoil within ourselves and this competition amongst ourselves, and how that really impacts our intimate relationships. And I think sometimes we might wonder, why am I not creating intimate relationships with people in my life, and what stems from ourselves and within. So can you speak to that? Because I think, yes, we're talking about business, yet also intimately with our personal relationships. Business is also relationships.
Oh yeah, business is so much about relationship. That whole competition in the relationship thing really spawns out of a black and white scenario where I need to be right or wrong, or they're wrong, I'm right. When we're in that black and white scenario in a personal relationship, we are competing. We're competing to get into a black and white scenario. When we can get courageously vulnerable and come out of that black and white scenario and start to look at what might the other person be experiencing? How can I lean in to know them better? How can I, again, get curious about what's going on for them? And we're not afraid of trying to hold up these walls of, I need to look a certain way. We can let go of the competition in a relationship and really lean into that intimacy. And I love that definition of intimacy is into me, you see. When we let go of the competition, when we let go of the black and white scenarios that we're trying to uphold in order to create a balance, then we're not competing. In the book, I use the analogy or the diagram of a seesaw on a fulcrum, and the beam sits on one little point of contact, which is judgment and comparison. When we're judging and comparing ourselves in any situation, we're riding the high up and down emotional swings of a teeter-totter. And the whole concept of gray thinking is to expand that contact point into more of a rectangle with doing work and having visions and leaning into value words that we use to create that platform, so that when we get squeezed or we have a tension, we got to jump a lot harder on one end of that beam to make it swing, because we've created a more stable foundation. Mm. And that's where the gray thinking really supports us.
That's a good visual. What would you say to an entrepreneur? Because you talk about judgment and comparison, and I think that's huge for an entrepreneur, where we can get caught up comparing ourselves to other people and judging other people, comparing and judging ourselves. And I might be on my first chapter and somebody else is on their 10th, and I'm wondering why I'm not where they are yet. So how does an entrepreneur adapt to gray thinking? What are the benefits of gray thinking when it comes to squashing the judgment and comparison that an entrepreneur goes through as they're building their business?
That's a great question, because we all do that too. Oh my gosh, look at what they're doing. I don't know how to do that. I should be doing more. And again, that is a black and white scenario. And it's looking at what we can't control and going to that battleground area of everything that we are not in control of. And when we start to grab another gray thinking perspective there and say, what am I doing? What have I done? Where have I come from? And see another person's success as something to move towards and go, oh my gosh, look at how well they're doing. If they can do that, I can do something similar, versus comparing and then creating that resistance of where you're going, versus, again, it almost comes back to that blessing. Look at how they were able to do that. I can maybe move towards that too. And using it as encouragement or enthusiasm, like we talked about, versus, oh no, I'm not good enough, or I can't do that right now.
Yeah. And it reminds me, I talked about on one of the podcasts about measuring our success backwards. And when we do that, it allows us to be grateful for where we're at, where our point A is, versus feeling like we haven't done enough, right? So celebrating ourselves, acknowledging the wins, looking at how far we've come while we work towards the ideal of where we want to be. And so I have a few other questions about entrepreneurship and gray thinking. And I know that a lot of your experience is with athletes, yet I believe athletes and entrepreneurs really have the same mind. We tend to have similarities, right? And you're an entrepreneur yourself, so you can speak from that perspective too. Can you explain gray thinking in entrepreneurial terms when it comes to solution approach versus crisis approach?
Yeah. crisis approach is, again, us going into this scenario of, oh no, catastrophe. I don't know how to do this. I'm nervous. I'm afraid. The fear comes in. And then we cut ourselves off from our creativity and our curiosity. And again, our enthusiasm of, what if I try this? What if I take one step towards learning this piece of software? What if I take one step towards creating a page in my book? What if I open my computer and just open the document that I'm nervous about starting and write one word? Where we can come out of looking at that performance endpoint and trusting a solution starts with small steps. It's not about getting to the endpoint immediately. Again, that whole fun, fast, and easy mindset that our society has versus the diligence, the progress goals, and the long game vision that draws us forward in enthusiasm versus thinking we have to compare ourselves and judge ourselves against others. It's really leaning into that trust of where we say we want to go and that we're doing the right thing when no one's looking and we're taking action steps that give us confidence moment by moment.
Yeah. And so how do you tap into your inner spring of strength? Because that's something that you also chat about.
Yes, we really come to trust on that one. If we're always looking outside of ourselves for the solution, we are giving away our power. We're underutilizing that intuitive sense that we do know exists. Like a very simple example of that is, I don't know, putting something on the stairs that you want to take up to the next level the next time you go up. So you've dropped something, maybe a load of laundry on the stairs. You walk away. The next time you go upstairs, you walk up and you see it. You hear, pick up the laundry. Whether you do that or not is now a choice. You can ignore that prompt. So you knew you wanted to take it up. When you see it, you hear the prompt, and now we have our free will, whether or not we actually do that or not. If we choose not to, then we're going back up into our own free will. We're not trusting the guidance that we've even asked for by setting a vision or a goal. We're going against what we know to be the direction we want to go. And if we can play with that intuitive sense and see that it does show up to guide us in the direction we say we want to go and we do create a vision, if we have no navigation of anywhere where we want to go, we don't set goals or we don't know where we're going entrepreneurially, we're just hoping for the best, we're not going to get the same access to those prompts and that guidance for what we say we want as if we do have a vision, not that we need to know how to do it, but we have a vision of where we're going. And then we can trust that we're going to get prompts that guide us towards that vision.
Sandra, you have been dropping so much wisdom. And I just have to say, I personally loved your book, The Power of Gray Thinking. It gave me a lot to be aware about how I've been showing up in my life with my way of thinking and being open to other perspectives that are going to serve me. And I could just relate as an entrepreneur, a high achiever, somebody who's been an athlete my whole life, somebody who's a coach myself, to so many of the lessons that you shared in here. And so I'm definitely going to be applying a lot of what I've learned from your book. And I want other people to have the opportunity to read it and take away what they need to for themselves. So where can people get your book, Sandra?
Well, the easiest place to get it is available on Amazon in either Kindle or paperback format and available Amazon.ca or any of the Amazons, actually. And that's the easiest place. It's all print on demand and you'll get it in a day.
Awesome. So everybody go and get the book. I highly recommend it. And then Sandra, where can people get a hold of you? Because you're also a coach, right? And you have some other services as well. So where can people get a hold of yourself?
Probably the easiest place is just go to sandrawigg.com website, sandrawigg.com. And I do have a listing of services and how to contact me there. And yes, I coach, I'm a speaker. I love to share my message and I really love to help people elevate their lives by using gray thinking perspectives to see what's possible in their life and to come at life with enthusiasm.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So you guys reach out, get a hold of Sandra. I'm going to put
your website in the show notes so people have access to it and where to find your book. And so just a few last questions, Sandra. I've loved having you here so much. My question for you, the first one is, what is three pieces of advice that you would give an entrepreneur who was wanting to elevate to the next level and they're in action in their business, yet they're feeling stuck, like they're just having a hard time getting to that next area of growth that they want to be at?
I think the vision, having a vision of a direction without needing to know how, where do I want to go? What might that look like? Number two, trust yourself that you can take action steps and do the right thing when no one's looking. And the third one is really, can I take imperfect action versus thinking I have to get it right or know exactly how to do it? Imperfect action and acknowledging every piece of action as moving me forward versus judging it as it didn't work or it's not right. So vision, trust, imperfect action with acknowledgement.
Oh, I love those. It reminds me of a saying my mentor used to tell me all the time, which is success is forward progress towards a worthy goal. And I love that definition of success. What would you say is your definition of success at this time in your life?
Success for me is trusting that I know who I am, who I'm supposed to be, and that I can take steps towards that. And I no longer have to prove anything. I can lean in. I can take steps. I can trust and try things. And actually, I have results that I can look back on and say, I didn't know how to do that. And I chose anyway. And look where I'm at now. That process versus always looking out in the future and saying where I'm not, to look at what I have done and what's possible. Again, that sort of enthusiasm mindset. It's not easy. It's hard when you don't know how. And yet, if that can be a default or even a perspective you can grab here and there, it really makes the whole journey of entrepreneurship a whole lot more fun.
And we want to have fun. We want to have fun.
Yeah.
So, Sandra, if there was one more thing, what would you share with everybody before we hop off?
I think lean in and communicate versus withdraw and isolate. Living a life in soloship, we might think we can control, but in actual fact, we gain the most value and we feel the most alive when we lean in vulnerably and courageously to relationship and connection with others versus thinking we have to do it all on our own.
Oh my gosh, such great message. And okay, in closing, Sandra, what's next for you? Are you going to write a second book?
I've had that question for sure. I think it would be really fun to write almost a gray thinking part two. Coming from where I am, that book actually took me 4 years to write and it's been 2 years. So it's 6 years. Gray thinking continued. What have I learned that I can share with people to help them elevate even more would be exciting. I'm also now speaking more on the work, and that's really empowering too, where I can reach more people and give more support to other people. And I'm also running a course in June. I've run it twice before, so offering that again on how to create this platform of strength that expands our perspective to give us that strength when the storms come.
Gosh, awesome. Awesome. So you got so much happening. Thank you for being here. I'm excited to get an update through your book of what's different now. And just appreciate your time and just thanks so much for sharing with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Totally. It's so great to connect with you again, Kelly.
Awesome. Thanks, Sandra.
Okay.
Sandra Wigg, what a great interview that was. And so for all of you who are listening, I encourage you to get out there and get her book, The Power of Gray Thinking. What a great new perspective to set you up to win for your life, with your goals, with your relationships, within your business. And Sandra just comes with so much wisdom and experience. I encourage you to check out her information in the show notes. She's also a coach. And so if you're looking for support, if you're a high performer or a high achiever, she's worked with tons of athletes throughout the years. She absolutely can guide you in the direction that you want to go for achieving your goals and also having fulfillment as well. And so thanks again, everybody, so much for tuning in and listening. Appreciate you so much. With love, greatness, and success, it's Kelly Beveridge.